Continuing the Gemara Shia, Rabbi Yochanan said that in the future Hashem will set up these gates of Yerushalayim. Of course, the gates themselves are made of gold, but the center, the window part, 10 by 20 amos, will be of diamonds. There was one Talmud sitting in front of him, and he left. He mocked the words of Rabbi Yochanan. He said, "You can't find diamonds today the size of an egg, a little egg. How do you expect to find diamonds 20 feet, 40 feet? How is that possible?" Rabbi Yochanan remained silent. Sometime later, this Talmud went out for a cruise on a boat. He came to the middle of the sea. He saw Malachim there in the sea, angels that were sawing away at diamonds. They were cutting these diamonds, giant-sized diamonds. And he asked, "What are these for?" The angels replied to this Talmud, "Hashem in the future is going to use these for the gates of Yerushalayim." This Talmud came back to the yeshiva. Now, of course, note these Talmidim. Every one of them was so great that he could see angels. In those days, these tzaddikim were so great, these rabbis. But, despite this, this Talmud had questioned the word of Rabbi Yochanan. Now he came back and said to Rabbi Yochanan, "Rebbe, please continue to lecture, to give a shiur, because your lectures are so beautiful. They are so true. Exactly as you said, so have I seen." Rabbi Yochanan replied, "You fool. If you had not seen, you would not have believed. You did not believe. So you mocked the words of a Rebbe. Therefore you deserve death." Rabbi Yochanan looked at him. The Gemara says, when the eyes of a tzaddik look penetratingly at a person, his whole body disintegrates into a pile of bones. This is what's meant by because disrespect for the words of the rabbis, the words of tzaddikim. Now this would seem to us to be a story of the past. And yet it is not a story of the past, because this same story can take place today, anywhere, anytime. For example, the same thing can hold true today, that if any person in any yeshiva class, any lecture, would say these words, the Gemara says in Baba Basra or in Sanhedrin, both places where it's brought, Rabbi Yochanan said Hashem is going to set up in the gates of Yerushalayim diamonds 10 by 20 amos, if a person would mock these words today, he's not mocking the words of his teacher, his lecturer. He's mocking the words of Rabbi Yochanan and the words of Hashem. Same rule would apply today too. Same responsibility, the same obligation on the part of a person to have implicit faith in the words of the Torah and the words of the Talmidei Chachamim, because they are the words of Hashem. The Gemara says further that a person who studies Torah at sacrifice, self-sacrifice, which means that he darkens his face, he eats very little, he makes sacrifices in his life pattern during his lifetime for the sake of the study of the Torah, the Gemara says that person will merit that in Olam Haba, future world, he's going to have a face that will shine with a special radiance. His neshama will shine a special heavenly radiance, the radiance of the Ohr Torah, light of the Torah that will shine through his neshama. Plus, he'll be satiated in Olam Haba for the times that he failed to eat here. So a person dieting here can expect to have very good meals in Olam Haba, if his dieting is for the sake of studying Torah. Which means, imagine then, not to take this lightly, take this very seriously. Picture how a person can literally fulfill this. He's about to eat supper and he realizes he has a shiur in Gemara. He has to go learn. The question, should he eat his supper or should he go learn? If he asks his wife, he's finished. But if he decides himself, "I will not forfeit, lose out the shiur in Torah for the sake of a meal," and he actually gives up the meal to go study, imagine the literal the carrying out of the words in the Gemara here. For starving himself temporarily, Hashem will fill him with heavenly supplies, heavenly nourishment in Gan Eden. The Gemara says, well, this is a very vital point. In fact, this is one of the most enlightening bits of information that we could get at this time to understand something about Gan Eden. We would like to know more about Gan Eden than about Gehenna, because we hope somehow to escape Gehenna. During our lifetime, we should be zecher to do tshuva, to repent, to escape the penalties and punishment that come for sins by repenting, because every sin a person ever does, no matter how severe, how serious, how intense it is, can be erased through repentance. Even an epikidus, even all these sins for which a person loses Gan Eden permanently, tshuva, while he is alive, can help. Only if he does it while he's alive. The heavenly court, he cannot say, I'm sorry. He cannot express his regrets there. It's too late. It's only during his lifetime that it is possible to do tshuva. But if he does tshuva, he's zochet to Gan Eden. What about this Gan Eden? Now, there is no literal illustration or description of what Gan Eden is like, but a few statements we do have. And one, for example, the Gemara says that in the future, in this case the future means in heaven, Hashem will give to each tzaddik 310 planets as a place to romp around in, playground. A tzaddik will have 310 planets, worlds, 310 worlds to play in. This shall be the inheritance, the Hanchila Ahavai Yesh, Hashem says, to those who are my beloved followers, I have what to give them, as what to bequeath to them. Yesh is 310. 310 worlds for every one of them. Now, why exactly 310? Because in the Aseres Hadibrais, Ten Commandments, we have exactly 620 letters. If you count that, you'll find 620 letters in the Aseres Hadibrais. These represent the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, plus the seven mitzvahs that are bonin. There are seven additional mitzvahs that are bonin, like washing hands, Megillah, Hanukkah, and so on, Erevin. So we have a total of 620. This is called Tafereish Chaf, or Kaf Tafereish, the Keser Torah, crown of the Torah, total of 620 mitzvahs. Hashem created Zachar or Nekeva. A person is complete when he has, when he's married, and he has a wife. Then he is complete. When they live together in accordance with the mitzvahs of the Torah, then they are both called tzaddikim. So note the wording here is Osir Kadosh Baruch Hu Litei Lachol Tzaddik V'Tzaddik. Every tzaddik v'tzaddik, Hashem will give 310 worlds. For every mitzvah there is a world. You have 620 mitzvahs, which are obeyed, carried out by this Odom HaSholim, this complete organism, husband and wife, who share in it, and therefore they get equal sharing. Equally for both the husband and the wife. There's no reason, no need for women to complain and say they are inferior, they get less, because here is equal sharing in Elam Haba. 310 for each one, total of 620 for both. This is what they share in Elam Haba. And therefore we find that when Hashem gave the Ten Commandments, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kaisema Laveis Yakai V'Sagid Levnei Yisrael, this you should teach. Tell this to the women, Beis Yaakov, and Bnei Yisrael, to the men. Equally they shall share these 620 or 310 each. Now we come to the most important point of all. The Gemara asks a very logical question. How is it possible that a person who is only human can endure what takes place in the afterworld, in heaven? We have two sections in heaven. We have one section known as Gehenna, Chas V'Shalom, fires of Gehenna. which are much more intense than the fires on earth. And then we have the other side, the extreme bliss, pleasures, joys of Gan Eden. How can a person take that? If a person would put his finger into a fire for a second, he could not endure it. How is it possible for the soul to stay, to remain in this fire, and to remain there and suffer and endure it? There is no such thing as losing consciousness there. Here a person would take just so much and become unconscious. The Gemara says, very simply, that in heaven the neshama is given the strength to take this punishment, this suffering, to continue with it. Not that it makes it any easier, but it's given the capability, the tolerance to be able to take the suffering. Now the Gemara says, how about the other case? How can a person endure, tolerate the pleasures of Gan Eden? There are certain things that are impossible for a human being to tolerate too, even in goodness. No person can take something which is too much pleasure, too much ecstasy. For example, we find a case of, interesting case of the four tzaddikim who visited heaven. Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zoimo, and Relisha Ben Avuya, Acher. These four visited heaven. The Gemara says each one had a different experience, but Ben Azai passed away while in heaven. He was nostalgic. Why was he nostalgic? Because he saw things that were so wondrous and so marvelous that he died from sheer ecstasy. He couldn't take it anymore. His soul had to leave him. So we see that there is a point of tolerance even in the case of happiness too. Another example is, as Zayde Kodesh says, that the Bishimi ben Yechoi Zal had nine official Talmidim. He had very many Talmidim, of course. Most of the rabbis of the Gemara were his students. He officially had nine Talmidim. He took these nine one day to a certain place in the forest, on the mountain, a place known as the Idra. Those who have traveled from Miron to Tzfas have passed that special room, a room of stone on the road, where he sat these nine Talmidim down, and there he taught the Idra, one of the deepest parts of the Zohar Kodesh. This is called the Idra Rabba, the great Idra, Idra meaning a room, a place for the study. Now he taught such heavenly secrets. The Zohar Kodesh says that when he completed it, by the time he got through, three of those nine passed away. One is Stalin. They couldn't take the thrill, the ecstasy of these words, this knowledge. Their soul just floated upwards, went up to heaven to become attached with the heavenly existence. So we see there too that the pleasure of achieving such deep knowledge too is more than a person can take. In Gan Eden, what happens there too? There are certain heavenly secrets that are revealed, new knowledges that are attained. How does a person tolerate that, even in joy, even in this ecstasy? But the Gemara says, exactly the same as in the case of suffering, here too Hashem injects into these tzaddikim a special koyach, a special power, to be able to receive this goodness, this pleasure, be able to constantly enjoy something new without losing consciousness, be able to tolerate it. This is the secret of the eternity of heaven. One more item, the final item in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says these are exceptions. These people who commit these sins will not see Gan Eden ever. When the Mishnah finishes that, Rabbi Akiva, the chief rabbi of the Gemara, says, I add one more sin. This sin, by the way, is acknowledged and accepted by Rabbeinu Zal as fact. One who commits this sin, too, is excommunicated from Gan Eden eternally. The one who reads certain types of books that deal with atheism, deal with philosophy, basically Greek philosophy, which has been handed down through the ages. So that any kind of philosophy books based on the old Greek philosophers, even if they are written by people who have faith, even if they are written by Jews, they still are forbidden. According to Rabbi Akiva, a person who just reads them alone, even if he thinks he's not affected by them, has committed this eternal sin. And Rabbi Elazar stresses this point strongly. Rabbi Elazar wrote two whole Sfarim based on this one point, to warn against the dangers, the hazards of reading these books of philosophy. Because about these books it is written, Kol Bo'eha Lo Yeshuvun, whoever enters into these books shall never return. This is a one-way ticket to Gehenna. There's a point of no return, because once a person has poisoned his mind with the knowledge of this philosophy, it's very difficult to ever cleanse his mind, to purge his mind from the information he got there that is so desecrating against the truth of the Torah, against the word of Hashem. The Gemara says that Rav Yosef said, there are different books too that are not as serious. The penalty is not as serious, but also they should be avoided. One of these is the Sefer Ben Sira. Ben Sira was a very famous person. He was the son of Yirmiyahu Hanavi. He wrote words that were very highly respected by the rabbis of the Gemara, but yet his book should not be studied, his Sefer, because of certain things written in there that are not proper. And the Gemara is very curious to find out, what did he say that is wrong? What's wrong with his statement? The Gemara answers, in Sefer Ben Sira, it says that one who has a daughter has a false treasure. False treasure meaning that a father in the olden days was allowed to sell his daughter for a maid. He was permitted to sell his daughter for a maid. He was permitted to marry off his daughter and to keep the money that the bridegroom paid. His daughter was a source of profit. Ben Sira said this is a very false treasure, because the profit is not worth the loss. A person who has a daughter has a very heavy burden. When she is a child, then he's afraid that some harm might befall her. She will not be wise enough to abstain from this wrong type of influence. When she gets a little older, she becomes of age, matured, he's afraid that she might commit certain sins, illicit acts. When she gets still older, she goes into her teens, he's afraid that she might not get married. This means he'd be left with a burden till old age. This he fears. He has trepidation about this constantly. He cannot sleep nights because of this. When she gets married, he's afraid that she might not have a happy married life. And when she gets old, he's afraid that she might turn to witchcraft. She might become a witch. An old witch. When we say, today, this we must take very carefully and very, very literally. To translate this in truth today, a woman becoming a witch today does exist, and exists only too much. Those women that turn to women's lib, these are the true witches of our time. Because, and of course this doesn't even need explanation, it's self-explanatory, it's obvious. Those women who turn to women's lib turn away from their true blessings. There is nothing that protects the rights of women as much as the Torah Kedusha itself. Throughout the Torah we have laws protecting them, laws where the Torah warns, insists on a husband's respect for his wife, supporting his wife, supplying her needs, considering her feelings. A woman who turns to woman's lib rejects all this and is the true mechashefa of today. It is something that should be rejected completely by women who have normal minds. It's only those who are lacking in the upper compartment that turn to it. So this is what's meant by the worries about women. Fortunately, most cases of those who have Yiras Shamayim stay away from this witchcraft, this type of witchcraft. The Gemara asks, what is so unusual about Ben Sira's statement? After all, the Gemara itself says that fathers are generally concerned about their daughters. In fact, when they're born, they're most concerned. They sort of are very reluctant to announce it. They'd much rather have sons for various reasons, although of course there are cases where the firstborn child, being a daughter, is a boon, a blessing. The Gemara says, we mentioned before, that if the firstborn child is a girl, all the subsequent children are immune from the evil eye, from the Ayin Hara. Special blessing for a firstborn b'chayda. Still, the Gemara says we do find that there is mention of this made in the Gemara too. What's wrong with Ben Sira's statement? Therefore, the Gemara says there must be a different statement involved. This would probably be the one where he says that a person should avoid worry. It's difficult to avoid worry if you have what to worry about, yet some people accept worry and some people seem to make it part of themselves. And Sira said that the strongest person, the greatest gibber, can be destroyed through worry. He can destroy his health, he can destroy his life. A person with the right type of bitachon does not need to worry. The Gemara says we find this too in the Gemara, that the person who has any worries should remove it from his mind forcefully, think of other things, and should also speak about his problem to others, or he might find solutions to it, rather than keep it to himself and let it eat his heart out. So what is wrong with this statement? The Gemara goes on to a number of other statements. We find also more statements of interest from Ben Sira, whose words are accepted as words of wisdom, except that certain individual statements should not be studied. The rest of Ben Sira's teachings we will postpone till after the summer mitzvah. Right now, we want to close this session, this term of Gemara Shiurim, with the words of the Gemara that Hashem has given for His people a set place, kaviyachol, in the heart of Hashem, just as Rabbeinu Zal said to his Talmidim. When they asked Rabbeinu Zal, will you keep us in mind, will you keep us in heart? Rabbeinu Zal said, in my heart I have a special individual place for every one of you. It will never be forgotten. And this is what the Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, say to Hashem, Simeini kachesam alibecha. Hashem, place us in a special room in your heart. Indelibly impressed in the heart of Hashem Kaviyachol, Hashem says, so be it. We will never forget His people. He will always remember us. And even if it seems temporarily, it seems that we are chas v'shalom forsaken and goless, we must know that Hashem is supervising our every move and our every action. And if we remain loyal to Hashem in the fulfillment of the mitzvahs of Hashem in goless, we will deserve to continue performing these mitzvahs out of Golus with the Geula Shlema in Eretz Yisrael. We should be zeche b'yemes now to see with our eyes the end of this long Golus, beginning of the Geula Shlema, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash by Hashem Himself, and the Simcha Klolius for the entire Klal Yisrael, Mheda B'Yameinu, Amen B'Yameinu.